it's really about who can sort of minimize the mistakes and make the least amount of mistakes and just sail a really smart series.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
Off the ball. This is News Talk.
Now then, you're welcome, Max. So the hurling over the weekend, really the headline news. Limerick 229, Tipperary 321. A three in a row in Munster for Tipperary. The first side since, the first side since Tipperary in 1989 to do the three in a row. So Limerick 229, Tip 321. In Leinster, we had the Leinster final at Croke Park on Saturday evening. Some things never change. A win for Cody and Kilkenny against Dublin. 125 to 19 points. Dublin hit by a COVID outbreak in advance of the game. They lost four players ahead of the game. The qualifiers then, we had Clare beating Wexford 225 to 222, a 3-point win in Thurles. Clare raced into huge lead, Wexford asleep for the first quarter and then pegged their way back but left themselves with too much to do. Waterford beat Laois as well, and if you haven't heard, the draw has been made for round two of the qualifiers. We'll have Clare against Cork in Limerick, and we will have Galway against Waterford in Thurles, both those games on Saturday. But we have to start with the game between Limerick and Tipperary. As we were discussing on the news round, Tip into a 10-point lead at half time, and then what followed, one of the more devastating third quarters wherever you're likely to see in the game of hurling. Despite being down by 10 points at half time, by the 53rd minute the game was pretty much done in Limerick's favour when Kyle Hayes did this.
Kyle Hayes beaten one, steps past the second, bounces the ball. He's still going. It's Kyle Hayes.
Kyle
14. Kyle goes to once more.
Kyle.
He's turned. The best goal you'll ever see, 222 to 217. You will not see a better goal from Kyle Hayes. Incredible skill. He bounced it three or four times and rattled the back of the net. Limerick in front by five.
Ah, that was unbelievable. He started on his own 65. That was an unbelievable goal, Dan. He ran the whole way. His gears were there. And you know what? Consider the week that was in it and the day that was in it. It's only fitting right to that man has gone up and stuck the ball in the back of the net. Unbelievable.
Yeah, amazing commentary in Live 95. Shane Dowling there alongside Donna Sullivan. The week Kyle Hayes had, obviously, if you hadn't heard, one of his friends passed away tragically during the week. So it's been a difficult week there, I'm sure, for him. But the goal was outrageous. Eddie Brennan is with us. Hey, Eddie.
Good evening, Joe. How's the farm?
That goal. Talk to us about just how good it was. I mean, the amount of different elements which went into it for a start.
Well, I suppose I won't take away the compliments. I'll hold the compliments for a minute. But I suppose we talked a few weeks ago about the art of defending. And I think if you were to look back on it and say that a guy was going to come from his own 45 or 65 yard line and nobody was going to lay a glove on him, you'd be kind of pulling your defensive unit aside in your review and saying, guys, how did this happen? But I just know it as well, watching the match from the high behind, how Gillan again makes those runs, and he just literally ran straight at Kyle Hayes, and in doing so he brought Porrigmar with him, and Porrigmar, you know, bought it really, I suppose. His brief was to stick with Gillan and mark him, and as in doing that, I suppose he just for that split second probably then realised, my priority is to protect the goal. And it's something the Tipperary were very good at. You know, I've seen in the past where they would flood that area. But, you know, we have to give Kyle Hayes some credit. And what an amazing finish, even, because he had the hurl turned the other way down with the heel of the hurl up to the sky, which is normally you have your toe up when you're striking a ball like that. And again, he got ferocious power in it. But, I mean, he was coming at such pace. All he was doing really was going to pass that ball into the net. And I think, in fairness, Barry Hogan had no hope with it. But I wouldn't like to have been chasing him. I think if as a forward you go, oh God, you can't believe that a back scorched you from well outside midfield and went all the way and stuck it to net. It was just really was. He's a powerhouse.
We've talked a lot about Limerick over the last number of years, obviously, on the show, and quite often of late we use the phrase about Limerick, they have a higher ceiling than everybody else, when we're trying to look ahead to the championship or the weeks ahead, that Limerick have a higher ceiling. Often they don't hit that ceiling, or they don't need to hit that ceiling. It does seem in that third quarter like they not quite peaked, but showed everybody exactly what they can do when everything's in perfect working order and when they're of a mindset to do it. Like Liam Sheedy came out and just said, they annihilated us. That was the word he used. He said, look, they're true champions. In that third quarter, they annihilated us. And John Kiley said, in that third quarter, that's the best this team has played in my 5 years. And Jackie Tyrrell, even in the Sunday game last night, said that was the greatest half of hurling that he has ever seen from a team. So we're talking about something unbelievably special here, it would seem. How highly do you rate it?
Yeah, it's up there. It really is. And I think even you can kind of say, look, they finished it out. And I was sitting watching the match and I thought, right, this looks like it's Tip's to kind of lose now. That Tip, if Tip, you know, keep chipping on the scores, or they can maybe break momentum when Limerick hit that purple patch, maybe they might weather it. And I felt myself, you know, God, if Limerick pull this off, it'll be unbelievable. But I felt they might get it to maybe a point or two coming down the 35th minute or something like that. I thought if they pull the draw, I think John Kiely would have took it at that stage. But it was more the devastating 18 minutes that they put in. I think that for me is the bigger story. I think, yeah, once they got their confidence up and their tails were up and they were going at Tipperary, I think, you know, the rest kind of was nearly the icing. They would have expected once they got level that they were going to kick on. But it was the fact that they turned around such a big deficit in such a short period of time. And I suppose even for Liam Sheedy, and it's very easy for us to sit here now and look at it and say, you know, how can their system fall down so much in 18 minutes? It's very easy to say, well, someone should go down and break the momentum. You know, it's very easy to say that now. I mean, Tip were flying. They were hurling out of their skin. So he's probably saying to them at halftime, let's have more of that, please, lads. Let's finish this match off. And you'd say maybe, I have to say, look, the Gillan being still on the pitch is possibly a game changer. Mm. You know, if he doesn't stay on the pitch, does that change the dynamic of that match completely? I think it does. Limerick are always going to come at them. But no, I think I'd have to give praise for what happened. I think as a period of time, I think I'm more impressed with the short period of time at which they just devoured that lead. And then after that, you just felt, look, Tip can't seem to stem the tide here. They're just going to kick on. And they done it with they just accelerated. They went from second gear. They were absolutely septic in the first half. And they just kicked into gear. I think they really dropped back a little bit deeper. I think Tipperary had a little bit of a malfunction on their own puckouts. They went short a few times. And again, this is something that this Limerick full forward and forward division really go after and hunt down. But significantly, Cian Lynch dropped very, very deep. And I think he must have passed out about six or seven balls to Kyle Hayes.
The Gillan red card, and most people do think it should have been a red card, that happened when Tip were still 8 points up. So definitely that was a factor for sure. But the bigger point, when Limerick are in that kind of form, even if they manage that for, you know, only 15, 20 minutes in most games, no other team in the country can live with them when they're like that, I presume. There's a fairly healthy gap now.
Yeah, I do. I just was jotting down a few bits before I come on there and just... I'm looking at all the superlatives that you could use to describe it. And again, we're not overreacting here. We've seen some pretty good comebacks over the years. You know, go back even as far as 94 when Offaly turned over, you know, Limerick. The word I use is frightening. I think it's frightening at the pace, the power and the skill level and the manner in which they just, you know, we talk in different, you know, the All Blacks have that, you know, at a time there a couple of years ago, they had that capability where they would just accelerate over a short period of time and they would blow the opposition out. They just seem to have, you know, you talk about these good golfers as well, that they just dismantle a course. And Limerick just absolutely dismantled Tipperary just after halftime. And I don't think any of us, nobody saw that coming. People say, geez, I wonder what was said at halftime. I would imagine it was pretty calm in that Limerick dressing room at halftime. I think the message has to be, right, lads, wipe out the first half. We can't change that. But let's win the first ball. Let's win that ball. Everybody to a man. Win the first ball. Get a turnover. Get something happening. And we see where it takes us from there. And little by little, I think once they got, you know, maybe that first score straight away, and that was it, they just clicked into gear. And you'd say just Tipperary just were not able to break that momentum at all.
Yeah. So, look, you've been part of teams that kind of hit these great heights, and I can only imagine how amazing it must feel to be in perfect sync with each other and to, you know, feel devastating or frightening, to use your word. And you could kind of see that in the full-time scenes. I mean, three in a row, so first time since Tip in 89, which is a big achievement. No Limerick side has won three in a row in Munster since the 30s, but there was like a jubilation about that Limerick team I think not just because of the Munster win, but almost a recognition, as John Kiely put it, that's the best we've played in his 5 years. There was almost a sense looking at them of, whoa, that was unbelievable. Yeah. And even like they knew, looking at each other, like, holy hell, that was awesome.
Yeah, and I think you got a sense of the battle they were in by even Seamus Flanagan's reaction. You know, even they were really pumped up and they were just feeding off each other, you know, when they got that first goal. And I have to say, Barry Hogan made a phenomenal save, because that ball was travelling when it left Gillan's hurl, and there was a tip man coming across in front of him. And I think some days you see, you know, I suppose they're the thin margins, that if he throws the hurl at that, or kind of, you know, reaches out reflex and deflects it, it flies off in a direction, such as the power's hit. But he got so much goalkeeping hurl behind it, it actually stopped it out, and it fell lovely for Seamus Flanagan. And that was the start of it once that went in. But yeah, I think on the point of that, I think for that, you could see the real elation in the Limerick players, because I think they're probably learning what it's like to be the team that everybody wants to knock. And I'm sure at half time they were heading into that dressing room wondering, was this it? You know, were they in big trouble? And some of them probably were. And it just takes guys to step up and start executing the basics. And yeah, I can definitely relate to that. Look, we had a great day in the opening 20 minutes against Waterford 1 year. And I remember talking to, you know, Michael Cavanagh about it, and he said it was probably just the best period of hurling. He said it was just a matter of, it just happened to be Waterford. He said, but that day, just everything we seemed to touch. So you can kind of understand what happened there just after half time, and you can appreciate it. And I think he just admired for what it is. You know, it was just a phenomenal 18 minutes, a phenomenal spell of hurling.
What do you suspect a defeat like that does now for Sheedy and for Tipperary? Does he look at it and acknowledge it was so devastating that it is time to bring some of the younger lads in? People are suggesting that has been required for some time, and you use your experience off the bench. Or maybe he looks at it and says, well, no team in the country can live with them. I'm still sticking to my guns here.
Yeah, I suppose we can just speculate on that and offer our opinion. My own opinion this year was the dilemma that Liam Sheedy had at the start of this year was he either sticks with his trusted lieutenants, and there's a core of them there, which all were playing on Saturday, who have been with him through minors and, you know, 2010, 2019. Or if he starts rejuvenating fresh blood into that team and is coming off the back of an under-20 and an under-21 success. So I think if he starts flushing that through and starting a few of those guys this year, to me, that would be an indicator that Liam Sheedy is here for another few years. But my own opinion is that by going with his trusted guys, I think you know, maybe Liam Sheedy is going to sit back at the end of this year. And I'm not writing him off in any way. That's just, I suppose, my view of what Tipperary have to do this year. And I think he probably needed to blood a few lads and get a few of those guys in there. But he's the manager. He sees what we don't see night in, night out. He knows the caliber of guys he's dealing with. So he will go with that. And I think he will stick with that now. He might have to freshen up a position or two. He might have to look at the guys that are knocking the door in and training. And I'm sure some of the guys are probably showing a bit of form. But I think at this stage, look, he gets the plus side for Liam Sheedy is, you know, he acknowledged Limerick's performance and say, look, they just blew us away. He'll still look at it and say where the learnings are for them and say, look, we have 2 weeks now to freshen up, refocus and recalibrate the system. And I think if Tipperary were looking for motivation in the next round, well, the winners of Galway and Waterford, what more motivation would he need? I think Waterford took them out last year, and then there's obviously a rival managing, you know, Waterford. So that just adds another dynamic to it. And I think he'll have to, I suppose it's a bit of soul searching now, but I still think that if Tipperary can get, you know, freshen up, which they have 2 weeks to do, I still think no team would like to be meeting them.
Clare 225, Wexford 222. Clare got off to an incredible start. Wexford asleep first quarter, left themselves way too much to do, and Clare won comfortably-ish, that maybe they would feel they should have been more ahead. But I suppose that game's been overshadowed by Davy Fitzgerald after the game, talking about various things. I don't necessarily think he was asked about it, a lot of this stuff. He just seemed to want to get it off his chest. So first of all, the Brian Lohan feud. I keep using that word feud. It's such a media word. I don't know what to describe it as. The falling out, I suppose. Here was Davy Fitzgerald talking about Brian Lohan.
People said to me, would you ever talk to Brian Lohan again or any of this? I'll tell you straight out, straight for the sake of Clare, 110%. If someone got a meeting with me and Brian Lohan tomorrow, I'd do it. Not, I mightn't like Brian Lohan and I mightn't have much time for him and the way he does stuff. He'd have the same for me. But we shouldn't be at each other in Clare. If Clare are to succeed, they all need to be together. And I'm saying it straight now. Would I put it to bed? I'd stand up in the morning and I'd go talk to anyone and I'd shake hands and I'd put it to bed 110%. I don't want Clare to be fighting with one another. I think we need to have a good hard look at ourselves in Clare and stop that. I hear the other night, the first thing they'll do is blame the county board for stuff. Easy target again. We need to stop that. We need to stop that. I see people that can get on keyboards and do stuff. Have they ever gone down the field? Have they ever worked with their clubs? Have they ever done stuff? We need to get a grip in Clare so they do 110%. We need to work together.
So that was one. And then a second short clip here. So Davy's father, Pat Fitzgerald, is secretary of the Clare County Board. The county board been criticised at length. It's been a winter of discontent, in particular, just gone. So Davy Fitzgerald addressed the abuse levelled at, I'm presuming here, largely his father.
I've experienced the toughest year I've ever experienced in GAA. The way myself and my family have been treated is an absolute and utter disgrace. And the way I've felt probably all week, I didn't even know if I wanted to come into this game, to tell you the truth. And I'll put it to you like this. In Clare, the biggest problem we have is a small bunch of people that create problems. They think they're helping and they're not. And I'm going to put it to you like this. Very, very, very simply, I'm a simple person that loves GAA. I think I've one of the most ever played for Clare GAA. My dad, who I'm extremely proud of, has done an unbelievable job. The amount of abuse and stick and criticism he has taken unwarranted is not justified. And can I say it to people? People have brothers and sisters, mams and dads, people have people that actually care about them. And what people in the media in Clare have done is absolutely disgusting. What people in social media have done is disgusting. What one or two clubs have done, instead of looking at themselves and how they can make their things better, they've tried to pull us into a place that we don't need to be. But can I say, the amount of support that I've got from within 90% of Clare clubs is absolutely incredible. And it's only the few. We need to stop.
So that was Davy. It was given short shrift by some. Paul Galvin, who was in as the football manager in Wexford, said, David Fitz loves to play the victim when it suits him. He's far from a victim in how he behaves behind the scenes while fronting to the media. And I can personally attest to that. Hope someone in the media has the guts to ask him hard questions now. Always the victim, David. Never your fault. Was one response. What did you make of all this, Eddie? I can't speak to the social media abuse or what's going on in the Clare media, so I don't really know exactly what he's talking about, but he's obviously upset anyway.
Yeah, look, I think there's a number of layers to what he's saying there afterwards, and I think, look, first and foremost, you know, I find it a little bit strange. I mean, again, we have to deal with the question in two different areas, looking at the Clare side of it and the abuse that's going on. I mean, there's levels of that that's unacceptable. But I suppose what I find a little bit odd with that, like, I mean, Davy Fitzgerald is the Wexford manager and he's talking about we and Clare. Like, so I think himself, he needs to maybe, you know, I suppose, you know, is he going to finish up with Wexford? Who knows? But he's talking about Clare as if he's, you know, involved in some way there. And as a Clare man, I'm sure behind the scenes and a proud Clare man at that, I'm sure he wants to see Clare succeed. But I think it's a kind of a weird tone, given that it's Wexford versus Clare, and it's not an easy situation. I wouldn't like to be in a situation where you're managing, you know, your own, a different county against your own county in a knockout championship match. That's a tough, tough situation to be in. But I suppose, look, the other side of it is there's a lot of layers to what's going on, you know, and has been a winter of discontent in Clare. And again, I suppose we speculate on that and we get little bits and pieces of what is going on down there. And I suppose I don't know exactly the facts and the ins and outs of that. But I don't know. I think look, Davey's, he's a complex kind of a character. I think he incites things and he also, you know, has this passionate side to him. But I certainly think, look, I think certain times, I think, you know, in that situation, it's just about nothing else, only the Wexford players who he's tasked with managing. I think that's all you're saying. Look, they gave me everything today, which he did say in fairness, and park at that. And I think we're aware there's a situation in Clare, but I think, look, there's probably a lot more to it. Again, we get sniffs of both sides of the argument. And again, I'd love to be in a more qualified position. But
yeah.
Look, I suppose I have my own views on Davey. He's a guy that tickles a bit of interest. But you know, when you're on a pitch, you see different sides to people, and you see different types of mannerisms and that. And look, that's the way it is, that when you're on the field, and it moves on from that. But I just think on top of that, I think it's worth saying that I think Brian Lawan has done an unbelievable job against the backdrop of all this.
Yeah.
The whatever went on with that COVID at the time and different bits and pieces. I think he's had a lot to deal with. And I think what has been really impressive is that he hasn't let his emotions and probably the frustrations he has felt during the winter filter into his players. He has managed to keep it separate. But equally, the players are rising to what the support he's doing and the job he's doing and the circumstances of which he's doing it. And they have a serious, serious spirit there at the moment, which makes him really dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I think if someone can organise the Davey Fitz, Paul Galvin round table, that would be something we'd all tune in for. There's bubbling away there.
I don't see Lawan sitting down at the table. That's, again, my opinion. I'll be surprised if that happens.
Brian Lohan, Davey Fitz and Paul Galvin in conversation. That's what we need now.
And they'll be the fly on the wall.
Yeah. Listen, great stuff. Thanks a million. We didn't get to talk about Kilkenny. We'll do that in due course at some stage. Eddie, thanks a million. Eddie Brennan.
No matter, Joe. All the best.
It's really about who can sort of minimise the mistakes and make the least amount of mistakes and just sail a really smart series.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.